Advent wreath together. And this helps us to get ready for the birth of Jesus that's coming up. So far, we have lit 2 candles. Week number 1 was promise. Week number 2, faith. And this week is joy. Here we go. We are this week going to focus upon the joy of 3 people as we share our message in a little while. We're going to look at the joy that comes from Mary, from the unborn John the Baptist, and we're also going to look at the joy that comes from Elizabeth. So I want to read that story for you that we're going to be speaking about in a few minutes. Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 56. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." And Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Fathers, we have lit this candle. It's reminding us that we need to rejoice in the Lord. We are grateful for the joy that is ours because of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to this earth to be our Savior. Particularly this time of the year, we are grateful to you because you sent your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to rescue us when we were hopelessly lost in our sin. And when we rejoice knowing that he will come again in glory, and this certain hope of eternal life fills us with gratitude. But until then, we offer our lives to you as living sacrifices. So today, Father, as our children share with us, help us to catch the excitement of Christmas through their perspective. And as, Father, we listen to the preaching of your word in a few moments, would you be pleased with the decisions that we make as we seek to reflect the joy of the Lord in our lives? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, joy is the delight of the mind that expresses itself in our behavior. D.L. Moody, a renowned pastor, said this: "Happiness is caused by things that happen around me, and circumstances will mar it. But joy flows right on through trouble. Joy flows on through the dark. Joy flows in the night as well as in the day. Joy flows as through persecution and opposition. It is an unceasing fountain bubbling up in the heart, a secret spring the world can't see and doesn't know anything about. The Lord gives his people perpetual joy when they walk in obedience to him." So today, we're going to look at 3 ordinary people and how they responded with joy to the news of the impending birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to discover from them that joy comes from obedience. Joy is defined as exaltation or exuberance. It literally means, and I'd do this if I wouldn't fall down. It literally means to spin around with pleasure. Got that picture in your mind? That's what joy means. So from our text in Luke chapter 1, we first see the joy of Elizabeth. Mary had placed her faith in God and completely surrendered her service to her. We saw that last week. After the angel Gabriel announced the amazing news that he was going to give birth to the Savior of the world, Mary journeyed to visit her cousin Elizabeth. See, the angel had already revealed to Mary that Elizabeth, though she was well beyond childbearing years, was 6 months pregnant. Now, we don't know whether Mary was concerned with Elizabeth's health or whether she just wanted to go and celebrate with her. The scripture doesn't make it clear. But what we do know is that Mary left Galilee immediately and traveled to Zechariah and Elizabeth's home in Judea. As was the custom in that day, when you showed up at somebody's house unannounced, you first called from the distance. I guess today we'd call on our cell phone. But imagine Elizabeth's surprise to hear her cousin Mary calling to her from her driveway. And as Mary finished her greeting, verse 41 declares that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And then in verse 42, Elizabeth speaks a truth that was not yet known. She says in verse 42, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear." Remember that Elizabeth could not have known that Elizabeth was pregnant. Mary couldn't have known that Elizabeth was pregnant. In fact, Joseph didn't even know. The only human being that knew was Mary. It was God who revealed to Elizabeth that Mary was pregnant. And not just pregnant with a normal child, but pregnant with the Lord, as she says in verse 43. See, Elizabeth's use of the word Lord indicated that she understood that this child was the Son of God and the Messiah that was so long prophesied and was declared for God's people. And because Mary was the mother of the Messiah, Elizabeth called her blessed among women. Notice that she didn't say blessed above women, but blessed among women, because she was merely a servant of God, as we saw last week, that God had chosen to bear the Messiah. And she was blessed to serve God in this way. No, it wasn't Mary's purity. It wasn't her goodness that caused her to be blessed among women. Elizabeth in verse 45 clearly points to the source of why Mary was blessed, and it's her faith. She says in verse 45, "Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." It was because she believed that what the Lord had said to her that she was blessed. You know, it's a good reminder to you and I today that we aren't saved. We aren't made good by the grace, only by the grace of God. That's the only way that we are made good and saved. There's nothing good within us. Nothing we do will ever earn us salvation. It is faith in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ that alone provides for us salvation. The Apostle Paul said it this way in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. "For it is by grace that you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." See, Mary, like all human beings, needed to exercise her faith in Almighty God. And last week we saw that she did that. And now here we see that Mary's faith was the source of her power and God's blessing in her life. Elizabeth's joy at seeing her cousin in the driveway was pretty profound. But it was nothing compared to the joy when she discovered that Mary was to be the mother of the promised Messiah. I can picture Elizabeth at this point dancing and spinning around with joy at the knowledge that Mary was to bear the Son of God. But, you know, Elizabeth wasn't the only one who was jumping around and leaping for joy in the presence of the Messiah. The unborn child in Elizabeth's womb did as well. Notice in verses 41 and 44, the joy of the unborn child, John, in Elizabeth's womb. Back in Luke chapter 1 and verse 15, at the announcement where Gabriel told Zechariah and Elizabeth that they were going to have a son, he was described this way, John. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. And we see the fulfillment of John being filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth here in chapter 2 and verse 41, where it says, the baby leaped in Elizabeth's womb. And then in verse 44, the baby in Elizabeth's womb leapt for joy. This movement was not natural, prenatal, fetal moment, but it was John's response when he recognized the position to which Mary had been set apart by God. You see, even before he was born, John rejoiced in Jesus Christ. So to the best of his ability, within the womb of his mother, John leaped and spun around with joy in the presence of Jesus. Well, then lastly, we discover the joy of Mary in the form of a song praising God. It's found in verses 46 through 56 in our passage. Now, this song of Mary contains quotes from the Psalms and the song of Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 2. This song of Mary, referred to as the Magnificat, reflects Mary's desire to magnify the Lord, not herself. In fact, in this 10 or 11 verses, she uses the word "he has" 8 times as she recounts what God has done for her, what he has done for us, and what he has done for Israel. She begins in verse 46 through 49 with what God has done for her. To begin with, Mary says God has saved her. She refers in verse 47 to God, my Savior. You see, Mary understood that she was a sinner just like we all are, and she needed to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for her eternal life. But not only had God saved her, God had also chosen her to be the mother of the Messiah. He regarded, or it says he was mindful of her, which means that God looked upon her with favor. And God chose Mary to be the mother of the Messiah, and he bestowed his grace upon her that she might become the mother of his son. But not only was God mindful of Mary, he was also mighty, working on her behalf, according to verse 49. And this is where I see Mary leaping for joy as she recognizes and affirms that God has chosen her, Mary of Nazareth, to be the mother of the Messiah, a simple servant girl. There was no greater privilege could Mary imagine than God would choose her of all people to be the mother of Jesus. It was here that Mary was affirming that with God, nothing is impossible. And she, of all people, was the living proof of that. It caused her to proclaim that holy is his name, that his works are righteous, perfecting the soul. It caused her to count her blessings and to name them one by one. It caused her joy to overflow for a mighty God who chose her of all people to be the mother of the Messiah. But in the second verse of her song, Mary turns her attention to what God has done for all of us, all of us, all of God's people in verses 50 through 53. All people who fear God from generation to generation have experienced God's mercy and had his help. But specifically in this second verse, Mary reflects upon three groups of people. In verse 51, talks about the helpless. In verse 52, the humble. In verse 53, the hungry. You see, the common person in that day were almost helpless when it came to justice and civil rights. They were often hungry, oppressed, and discouraged, and they had no advocate to fight for them to effect change in their lives. And Mary saw that the Lord, the Messiah, would change all of that. She saw that Jesus was going to turn everything upside down, that the nobodies would be exalted. The hungry would have more food to eat than they could imagine, that the rich would become poor, that the humble would scatter the proud, that the weak would dethrone the mighty. This Mary saw, and she praised God for accomplishing this through her yet unborn son, Jesus Christ. You know, for us this morning, it's good for us to also be reminded that the grace of God works contrary to the thoughts and the ways of this world. And we, the Church of Jesus Christ, those who know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, are the visible manifestation of that reality to the world that we live in. And so Mary thanks God for extending mercy and giving help to all of his children. But then in the third verse of her song, she focuses on what God did for Israel. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, we're reminded that Jesus will save his people from their sins. And in spite of Israel's destitute condition, the nation was still God's chosen people. And he would help them, and he would fulfill his promise to them. You see, God was on Israel's side, not because they deserved it, but because of his mercy. God will remember his mercy and keep his promises to them. Now, Israel did not deserve to be blessed by God. They did not deserve it. Israel had turned away from God. Deuteronomy chapter 28, there God warned Israel that if they were disobedient, they would be disciplined. And the end result of that discipline of Israel would be that they would be placed under the power of the Gentiles. But God also promised in Deuteronomy chapter 30 that if Israel would turn back to them and confess their sins, that he would return to them his blessing. And even though generation after generation of Israelites were rebellious and they were disobedient to God, when they repent of their sins before God, he is merciful to them. He always keeps his promises. He is a faithful God even when we are unfaithful to him. And so when Mary reflects upon what Jesus would do for his chosen people Israel, she is consumed with this overwhelming joy for his mercy to them. Mary's song begins with a look at God's mercy in her own life, as it should for all of us. But the second verse kind of widens out, and the focus is taken upon the current world situations, and she praises God for how he will be merciful to them. And then in the third verse of her song of great joy, Mary focuses upon how God will be merciful with the nation of Israel, past, present, and then into the future. It was this song of Mary that expresses her response of joy to God's mercy in her life and into her situation. But you know, I fear for us, often we think that circumstances, if we get those all right, if our life just works properly, then I'll be joyful. Reminds me of a story I read this week. Estelle, she was going to take her first parachute jump. And she was, as you might imagine, excited and scared at the same time. I think she's crazy, but. So the instructions were simple. There were three instructions. They gave her instructions how to do all this, but her instructions were simply this. One, pull the first cord. If it doesn't work, pull the second cord. And remember, a red truck will pick you up. Those are simple instructions. Well, she jumped out of the plane. And so she pulls the first cord. Chute didn't open. She didn't panic. Pulls the second cord. Chute doesn't open. So she's, plummeting to the earth. And she thinks to herself, that's just great. I suppose the red truck won't be there either. You see, we can't depend upon our life circumstances. And Mary's joy wasn't tied to the circumstances of her life, but rather it was tied to her faith in the Lord. But when was the last time that God caused you to want to dance with joy? How long has it been in your life since God's overwhelming grace caused you to leap with praise and joy? What has God done in your life recently that has humbled you, that has overwhelmed you, that has produced unquenchable joy in your life? You see, during this Advent season, our lives should have joy beyond our ability to express it. Our hearts should be overwhelmed with the realization that our God loves us. Our lives ought to reflect cheerfulness through the power of God because of what Christ did. He came to earth to be our Savior, to bring to us full joy. See, just a few months at the birth of Jesus Christ, an angel announced this. "Don't be afraid," the angel said. "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." The angel brought this great news to give to people great joy. I think that is in short supply in our lives, even during Advent. Unfortunately, it's a missing ingredient in so many of our lives, particularly the ones who ought to be joyful. And those are the folks who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus said that he came to bring us joy. Now, I wonder sometimes if the church has unwittingly kind of contributed to this thinking, that we have emphasized too much Christian duty and Christian devotion. I wonder if maybe we've unwittingly given the wrong impression that activity is really what the Christian life is supposed to be all about. And we've overlooked the element of the fact that there is joy in serving God. Sometimes I wonder that in our conditioning of doing the Christian life, it seems we have overlooked the obvious, that we need to be excited about the good news of great joy that Jesus brings to our lives. You see, I believe that everyone who knows Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord should have great joy, particularly this time of the year when we celebrate Emmanuel, God with us. We should join with all of heaven, which resounded with joy at the birth of Jesus, our Savior. That is the response of faith to the birth of Jesus. Near the end of his life, just before Jesus left this earth, he turned to his disciples and he said, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." Jesus' desire is not that we have a little bit of joy, just a little bit more than full joy. And the question is, how do you get that full joy? And there's only one way that I know that Scripture says that we can get that joy, and that is obedience. And I think Jesus said it most powerfully in Luke chapter 11. There was a woman in the crowd that day who shouted to Jesus. She said, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." And Jesus replied, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." Jesus said it's a greater blessing to live in obedience to God than to have been the mother of the Messiah. In 1870, Hannah Smith wrote a book entitled, get this, "The Christian's Secret of a Happy Life." In it, she writes this: joy comes through obedience to Christ, and joy results from obedience to Christ. Without obedience, joy is hollow and artificial. You see, when the power of Jesus reaches into our lives and transforms us, there will be joy where there was once sorrow. See, the key to Mary having full joy was her obedience to God. When confronted with the possibility of being the mother of the Messiah, she submitted her will to the desire of God. And the result in her life was overwhelming joy, conspicuous joy, even contagious joy. And God's plan is that you will have full joy. And that is why he sent Jesus into the world that he created. Well, this morning, as we respond to God's word, I invite you to talk to God about your need for more joy in your life. And I want you to talk to God about deciding to be obedient to him so that you can have full joy, the full joy that Christ came into this world to provide for all people. And that's you and me. Pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, O God, that it reflects to us and gives us insight into the joy that was found in those folks who were anticipating your birth. We thank you, Father, for the joy that was found in Elizabeth. We thank you for the joy that even this unborn child, John the Baptist, had. And we thank you, Father, for the joy that we see in Mary's life, that when confronted with her entire life being turned upside down, she chose obedience to you, and the result was full and complete joy in her life. And Father, we acknowledge and recognize that joy is a fleeting thing in our lives. We ask, O God, that during this time of Advent, that you would help us to have the joy that comes from being redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. God, you know, you've declared to us that it comes through obedience. And so help us in these days to, no matter what you ask us to do, that we will say yes. Father, it's our desire to grab a hold of the full joy that you came to give to us. And so in these days, would you help us to live that out, that our joy would be conspicuous, it would be full, and that it would be contagious to other people. And it all comes because of our relationship with you, who loved us, sent your one and only Son to come to this earth to be our Savior. We give you thanks and praise for all that you have done for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.